Now, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced this week that booster shots of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines will become available for all adults next month. The agency expressed concern that the most vulnerable people, the elderly and those with underlying health conditions, may see decreased immunity in the near future. Across the country, COVID cases are on the rise and vaccination rates have slowed significantly. In Wisconsin, the seven-day average of cases has been on the rise since July. According to the Department of Health Services, the seven-day average for new COVID cases is around 1,224 per day. And we are talking about the pandemic and where we're at now and what the future could bring. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the COVID booster shot? If you're an older person or someone with an underlying health condition, what questions do you have? And how are you feeling about where we are so far in the pandemic? Call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Jonathan Tempty is with us. He's an Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's an expert in vaccines and immunization policy. Dr. Tempty, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you so much, JC. It's a pleasure to join you. I wish I didn't have to at this point in time. We were hoping that we were going to be seeing something different.
And I think that's kind of what many of us expected to see, but putting everything on the table, COVID cases are on the rise in the United States. Many states, including Florida, Louisiana, and Hawaii, have broken records for new cases this week. Take a temperature. How is the country doing as a whole right now?
Well, so far, over 37 million of us have had COVID. And unfortunately, we've seen 623,000 deaths across the country. And so this is an enormous public health and a personal health crisis out here. We haven't seen anything like this in our lifetimes. But as you mentioned earlier, we have seen not only in Wisconsin, but across the country, a steady increase of cases starting in early July. And we're now at a level that we have not seen since last January. So the arrival of the Delta virus, I think, changed virtually everything.
Now, talk a little bit about this news that a booster shot is very likely going to be on the horizon, of course, for more vulnerable populations first, our senior citizens and people who might have underlying health conditions. Can you talk about where we are with this booster shot?
Yes, certainly. This is a really interesting case for those of us involved with policy and making vaccine recommendations. It appears as though the policy is almost already there. We're seeing today news releases saying that they anticipate beginning in the third week of September, September 20th, that all Americans will be eligible for a booster dose. That, however, doesn't take into account what has to happen before we get there. And the first thing that really is needed is an emergency use authorization, again, from the FDA to look at the science behind the booster dose and whether or not, number one, there appears to be a need. Number two, that the use of a booster or an extra dose is beneficial. And probably most important, that the booster dose in general is very, very safe. And once that happens with an emergency use authorization, then it basically gets lateraled over to the CDC and the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, whose job it is to independently review the evidence and make a recommendation that is then approved by the CDC director and the Secretary of Health and Human Services. So before those steps happen, you really can't have at least what we would call a legitimate recommendation out there.
Now, Dr. Tempty, I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Samantha in Whitehall. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, why are we worried about giving people a second dose in the first place, or talking about, I mean, second, like a booster in the first place when there are people out there that we're trying in a loving way to convince to get the shot. I know some people that just won't, one that's scared to get it, and there's a couple that are married that just won't go get the shot at all. They're not going to. And how do we help those people before we worry about giving a booster shot to anybody? That's what I'm wondering. Why don't we just try to help those people first and then, you know, a booster shot?
Samantha, thank you so much for that call. Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Temting.
Yes, Samantha, I think you asked the most important question of this entire session today. And it really pertains that a booster dose is going to help that individual. But it's not going to do very much for us in terms of bringing this whole pandemic under control. And that's why we need to reach out and get vaccine into all those people who have not received vaccine. For example, in Wisconsin, we've had about 53-54% of our residents receive at least one dose, and about half of us have had the complete series. But that means that there are 27 million Wisconsinites who have not received any vaccine as of yet. And this is the pool that will keep this pandemic, this outbreak going. And 27 million people is a lot. And I have to say that most of that group have not had COVID as of yet. So these are all people who are susceptible and can come down with this, can transmit to other people, and will likely, or much more likely than those vaccinated, end up in the hospital or in our intensive care units. So that's a really important question as to how to get the vaccine out. And unfortunately, we've seen those rates steadily decline. We're at the point now we really have to work very, very strongly with our primary care physicians, our nurse practitioners, our physician assistants, just to use those trusted relationships with patients to try and break through that barrier.
We are talking to Dr. Jonathan Temte right now, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Now, one of the maybe troubling things that we have definitely seen and heard is what some lawmakers are calling the pandemic of the unvaccinated. And it goes along with Samantha's question, which is, you know, why aren't we focusing on them first? But you know, these vaccines aren't really new. What kind of challenges still are public health officials facing to convince people to get vaccinated at this point?
Well, I think there are two basic themes out there. Number one, that the pandemic isn't all that serious. And there are still people who really think this is no more than a bad year of influenza. And influenza is the virus I've studied most over my career. And I can assure people this is far, far worse than any influenza we have ever seen, at least in our lifetimes. But then the second part is really the fear and the concerns over safety of these vaccines and the perception that these were rushed into utilization. And all I can say at this point in time is that with the incredible uptake of vaccines in this country and across the world, there's been 4.5 billion doses of coronavirus or SARS virus vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine administered across the world. And compared to other vaccines, we haven't seen any increased safety problems as compared to those vaccines that we are normally administering to children, to our older adults, and to everybody on an annual basis, for example, with influenza. So these have had a very good track record in terms of safety. But I also have to say that in the initial emergency use authorization, the usual bars were hit in terms of the safety assessments. These trials just got off the ground really, really quickly, and there were a lot of participants that allowed us to assess the safety quite quickly. Now when we're talking about licensure, This requires the safety assessments to go out a full 6 months after the last person received vaccine, and we're just about there. So we're going to see the licensure of both Pfizer and Moderna in the next few days or weeks.
We are talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty right now, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And he's talking with us about the latest COVID news, including that recent news that a booster shot could be on the horizon. And we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the vaccines, whether they be the Moderna, Pfizer, or Johnson & Johnson? Did you get vaccinated? What did you think about the process? We want to hear from you. Call in now, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@WPR.org. And we'll continue this conversation in just a moment right here on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we continue our conversation with Dr. Jonathan Tempty, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And we are talking about COVID, COVID booster shots, and more, and want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. And I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Louie in Oconto. Hi, Louie.
Hi. I have one comment and then a question. But my comment is this. I'm glad some organizations like Summerfest and things like that are requiring either be tested or vaccinated before you go on the grounds. And I think it's time that we stop coddling some of these people. And it's like, if you want to do fun stuff, that's fine. If you don't get your shot. But now here's my question, though. We know that this vaccine replicates, and we have variants when it replicates. What about the breakthrough infections when you have the vaccine, but you're asymptomatic or you come down with milder symptoms? Are we still replicating that virus?
Louis, thank you for that question. Dr. Tempty.
Yes, when we get infected, the virus basically hijacks the mechanisms in our body's cells to make copies of themselves. And they do so very effectively and efficiently, and they make basically billions of copies. And it's the attack of the cells, and as they leave the cells, they tend to destroy the cell as well. This causes a lot of the damage and the disease we see. But you are absolutely correct that people can have replication of this virus without having symptoms. So unfortunately, with COVID-19, we run the gamut from people who are totally asymptomatic to people who are deathly ill, or even die from the disease. The people who are the most sick probably have the lowest likelihood of transmission, and the people who are minimally sick can tend to transmit. And this is where we get into some challenges with vaccines, because they're so good at preventing the negative consequences of illness that when we do have a breakthrough case, oftentimes those people who are vaccinated with a breakthrough case are asymptomatic and are able to transmit. And some recent work done here at University of Wisconsin by some of my colleagues have shown that the amount of virus in the secretions of the people who are vaccinated and asymptomatic are basically about the same as people who are symptomatic. And so that's really kind of worrisome here. The good news is by being vaccinated, you're far, far less likely to become infected in the first place, whether it be symptomatic or asymptomatic. So we still want to make sure that people are vaccinated. But just by being vaccinated doesn't assure us of being able not to transmit. It's still possible. So we still have recommendations out there right now in Dane County starting tomorrow, with masking for everybody indoors. And that's because of just the insidious nature of this Delta variant.
Now, Dr. Tempty, we're now in this situation where people are still getting sick. And, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, we saw a big groundswell in getting tested. The National Guard was testing a lot of people. Do you see going back to that, where we have these mass testing sites to continue to track the Delta variant and potentially other variants as they emerge?
Well, I think absolutely yes. If we look across some of the states that have been really hit hard, we see on news reports the mass testing sites coming back up again. If we look in, for example, Dane County, where I'm based, and simply going on to the Madison Dane County Public Health website, one can see the testing locations that are available. The big difference right now is many of those locations have been changed over to pharmacies where they have the people, the tests, and so on available there. But so I think right now it's a wait and see across Wisconsin whether or not we get into the very large mass testing. But the testing is such an important part of the public health control of this virus. If you know you have it, you can take actions to prevent other people from getting it.
We're talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty right now, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And I want to go back to our callers right now. We have Kenny in Wausau. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What did you want to bring up, Kenny?
Okay, the last man on there, I got a lot of what he covered answered a lot of my question. But if the people that are vaccinated have such a low cause of, like, say they can transfer the variant, but it's such a low thing where it affects them, why are they needing a booster now?
Kenny, thank you so much for that call. Again, a question about the necessity of a booster shot.
Well, I think it's really important, Kenny, that we talk about who is getting vaccinated out there. And if the only people that we had in our population were young, healthy people in their 20s and 30s, we might not be having this conversation. But at any one moment across the United States, there are 7 million of us who are immunocompromised because of cancer or medications we're taking, things like that. And we know that many of the breakthrough cases are in people who are immunocompromised. So, for example, right now we know that 40% of breakthrough cases occur in those 3% of the population who are immunocompromised. We also know that with older people, their immune systems are not working as well. So once we get into long-term care facilities, nursing homes, and those situations, individuals will tend to not have as good a response to the vaccine initially, and the protection will tend to decline more rapidly over time. And so we have to look at the whole composite of people. And then finally, the people who were vaccinated early on, for example, in December and January, now we're looking at being out about 7 to 8 months after that last vaccine dose was received. And all vaccines tend to decline or wane over time. So I think we have all these things happening in concert. And in particular, I'm mostly concerned about those people who are immunocompromised, those people who are elderly, whose immune system may not have responded very well to the first two doses. And I think those people really need to be prioritized for any booster. And then we have to start looking at the people who have been vaccinated a long time ago. But so we really have a mixed population out there of people who have differential response to the vaccine and have differential immunity.
Dr. Tempty, I want to go back to our callers, and a thank you to Kenny for that question. I want to go to Joanne in Madison right now. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I would like to know, I am fully vaccinated, and I'll be 65, and I had a suspicion that I might have been asymptomatic maybe a week and a half ago. And first off, I tried to get a testing, and it was almost impossible to get it, like, immediately. But anyway, I'm wondering if now would I, if I could get tested for antibodies, and then if that would show, if I had antibodies, does that mean that I actually had COVID and I was asymptomatic?
Joanne, thank you for that call. Dr. Temte, we have about a minute left. Can you talk about the antibody tests and what we can learn from them?
Yeah, that's always a challenging question because there are a lot of different antibody tests out there, and there unfortunately is no good standardization, and there can be both false positive and false negative tests. So at the end of the day, most of us don't know how to interpret those results. And so I don't know if there's much benefit in that. However, even if you're vaccinated and you think that you may have had a breakthrough case, be it asymptomatic, I think as we go on, there will probably be guidance out there to receive a booster dose. And we just have to wait and see what the recommendation is showing now.
And Dr. Temte, in the last 10 seconds we have, what will you be watching for next?
Well, my biggest concern is the collision of the Delta virus, the coming of the autumn, waning immunity, and schools coming back into session with transmission amongst school-aged children. Those are the big players right now.
Dr. Temte, thank you so much for joining us today and answering all of our questions.
And thank you so much for having me. Take care now and keep safe.
Dr. Jonathan Temte is the Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about the latest COVID news, including that booster that is on the horizon.